Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Jesus on his way to Jerusalem as we pick up in Mark chapter 10, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And he arose from there and came to the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resorted unto him again, and as he was accustomed, he taught them again. Now, Jesus is leaving the area of the Galilee for the last time. He is on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. He knows this. He presently will be telling the disciples this. They still do not understand. It's still to them a mystery. But yet, it's very clear in the mind of Christ, and so you have to realize that he is now knowingly on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified, and of course, to rise again. So he leaves the area of the Galilee. He arose from there, the area of Galilee, and he came to the area of Judea. So he's moving south towards Jerusalem. He's on the far side of the Jordan River, so he's coming down in the area of the Ammonites and the Moabites. And the people were still gathering to him, and as was his custom, he was just teaching them. And now the Pharisees came to him, and they asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?" And notice, they were tempting him. This was a league kind of a question. Obviously, they were seeking to trap him in the answer that he gave. They felt that his answers were contrary to the law given through Moses. And they were hoping to trap him, to show to the people that were gathered there that he was a heretic, that he was teaching something other than the law of Moses. And so they asked him the question, "Is it right for a man to divorce his wife?" Now, in the law, in the book of Deuteronomy, God did say through Moses that if a man married a woman and found some uncleanness in her, he should give her a writing of a bill of divorcement. Now, that is a little vague, not much, but a little. But there are always people who are trying to jump into any little area of controversy or any area where there might be an excuse for what they want to do. There were two basic schools of thought taught by the Jews that were headed under famous rabbis. There was a rabbi by the name of Shammai. Shammai taught that uncleanness meant only that when he married her, he discovered on the marriage night that she was not a virgin. She was not clean. She was not a virgin. And thus, if he discovered that, he had the right to divorce her. And Shammai took that very narrow, limited viewpoint. The uncleanness would be adultery on the part of the wife, either before or after marriage, and that constituted the only grounds for divorce. Now, there was another school headed by the Rabbi Hillel, which took a very liberal interpretation of finding an uncleanness in her. If she didn't dress the way he liked her to, if she was a brawling woman, and they interpreted that if you could hear her voice next door, she was counted a brawling woman. Or if she didn't fix the meals to please him, that this constituted an uncleanness in her, and thus he had the right to divorce her for these grounds. Now, the Jews were quite divided, but naturally the Hillel side was of greater popularity among the men. And there was one rabbi by the name of Akibi, and he said that if he found another woman that pleased him more, that constituted an uncleanness in his wife, and so he could divorce her just because he found another woman that pleased him more. Now, naturally, by these liberal interpretations, they made the law totally meaningless. But still, they were divided quite sharply on this particular issue. And so they brought the issue to Jesus. Can a man divorce his wife for any cause? And Jesus answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses allowed to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So then, they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So Jesus, in answering their question, asked them the question, what did Moses command? They said, Moses said we could give her a writing of divorcement and put her away. And they had two different bills of divorcement. The second one became quite technical and had to be written up by a rabbi and then approved by three rabbis, and you could give it to your wife and she officially was put away. But because of the liberal views that they had taken, there was social chaos. Children who really were almost orphaned in the sense that they did not have a solid type of a home environment to grow up in. And so Jesus, in talking about marriage and divorce, rather than going to the precept of Moses, he said, Moses gave you that because of the hardness of your hearts. But in the beginning, and from the beginning, it was not so. Now we are dealing with God's divine ideal from the beginning. What was God's ideal? What was God's intention? First of all, there is the recognition that man by himself is not complete. Woman by herself is not complete. God made them male and female, and the two become one. And there's only a wholeness as the two become one. The wife is to complement the husband and make a completeness, as the husband is to complement the wife and make a completeness, but neither are complete in themselves. And in the beginning, God made them male and female. And for this cause, a man leaves his mother and father, cleaves to his wife, and the two of them become one, one whole, one total. Therefore, those whom God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And he is dealing now with the basic divine ideal established by God for marriage. And so we must note that Jesus is going back and dealing with the basic ideal and intention of God in the beginning. But man did not live up to God's divine ideal because of the hardness of man's heart. So many times the unwillingness to bend, the unwillingness to forgive, or the unwillingness just to give, for marriage is surely a giving proposition. And the hardness of a man's heart in his unwillingness to bend or to give created intolerable situations. And so, because of the hardness of their hearts towards God's divine ideal, Moses in the law declared, let him give her a writing of a bill of divorcement. So Jesus declares the divine ideal of God, recognizing man did not come to it, and thus God's accommodation through the law to make that separation binding and legal, to go through the writing of divorcement. Today, we are faced still with a hardness of heart. Now, God's divine ideal still stands. It is still the divine ideal that there be one marriage for life. That's God's divine ideal. That's what God would have. But today there are still those who have hard hearts to God's divine ideal. They will not bend, they will not yield, they will not give, they will not forgive. And when that condition does exist, marriage can be a hell. And it is extremely unfortunate when two persons set about consciously or unconsciously to destroy each other. That surely is not God's divine ideal either. And I'm going to hang on until I kill her, you know. God's divine ideal is that the two be one, that they be brought together in a harmony through love and a true oneness in love. It's difficult to deal with this subject inasmuch as, number one, we do not want to broaden the issue to make divorce and remarriage a very simple, you know, go for it kind of a thing. If she doesn't please you, if you found someone else, you know, divorce her. Surely God does not intend that. In fact, God declared in Malachi he hated divorces. Yet he also hates those intolerable conditions that sometimes exist when you get a hard-hearted person in a marriage relationship. So we just can't say, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter. Do what you want, whatever pleases you. Our desire should be to please God. If we are in a bad marriage, we should seek to make it a good marriage. We should do our best to make a go of the marriage, to forgive, to give, to love, to have understanding, and to come to an agreement, to come to a oneness. On the other hand, in dealing with the subject, we do not want to create condemnation for those who have had that bitter experience of being married to someone by paper, but not by reality, where there never was a true oneness brought together by God's Spirit. and because of intolerable situations, to save themselves, found it necessary to get a divorce, lest the marriage totally destroy them. It is unfortunate that many times in the folly of youth, young couples believe themselves to be madly in love and insist on getting married because they can't wait. And soon after the infatuation has worn off, they realize the total incompatibility. Someone has said that a decision as important as marriage should never be left up to the judgment of a child. And that's why they had marriage by arrangement. But that had its flaws too. Now, if a person, while a teenager, gets married, and it is soon obvious that it was a tragic mistake, and it's impossible to live with that person, and they then get a divorce, I speak now for myself. As Paul the Apostle said, Paul is speaking now. I don't have any commandment of the Lord of this, but this is Paul speaking. And so this is Chuck speaking now. I do not believe that God says to that person, all right, you made your bed, lie in it, or you blew it, you made a mistake, now you can just suffer the rest of your life for the mistake that you made as a silly child. And you can never marry again. I really do not believe that God says that. But that's me. But that is my conviction. So, Jesus sought to bring back the realization of the sacredness of marriage. The Catholic Church says it is a sacrament. And I think that they are probably correct. It is an outward sign of a spiritual work. And there is that spiritual union that is created by God as the two become one. Marriage to the right person can be heaven on earth. Marriage to the wrong person can be hell on earth. And I speak especially now to young people who are not yet married, who are perhaps contemplating it. Spend much time in prayer over your decision. Before I married my wife, I went off and spent time fasting and praying. I'm glad I made the right decision. I'm glad the Lord led me to that decision through prayer and through fasting. And I mean that it is a matter that you should not leave to your heart or to your emotions. It is something that you need to prayerfully consider. Much better that you not make a mistake than you try to later on correct the mistake. I do not believe that God condemns that person to hell, who has divorced and remarried. I believe that if you find yourself in a remarriage, that you need to make the best of it. Just let your marriage become all that God wants it to be. I don't think that you should go out and say, well, I was married before, now I better divorce you too. I believe that you should stay in the condition where you are. The Bible tells us that a man should abide in the calling wherewith he was called. When you were called by Christ and you accepted the Lord, what your condition was there. Maybe you've been married, divorced, remarried. Work it out now in this relationship that you have. Let it bring honor and glory to God. But we remember David, who became involved with Bathsheba and later married her. And God was merciful, and God was gracious, and God was forgiving to David. The prophet said unto him, "Thy sin is forgiven." He did pay a price. They lost their first child, and yet God granted to David that forgiveness of sin. And you may have sort of a sordid past as far as marriage is concerned. I don't know if some people are just really hard to get along with or just don't have good judgment in picking out a partner. But you may be a loser in marriage. But yet God is able, I know, to help you. And God is glorified and honored when couples are able to resolve their differences in Christ, come to a loving relationship through Him.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Mark on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Mark 10 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. May the Lord watch over you this week. May the Lord bless you. May He fill you with His love, with His Spirit, with His grace, that you might show forth that grace of God in your dealings with others, that you might manifest the Spirit, the nature of Jesus Christ in your relationship with others, that you might walk even as He walked. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
The Word for Today would like to invite you to come along on a revolutionary study of the Bible as we introduce Pastor Chuck's Genesis commentary in an ebook format. Not only will you have Pastor Chuck's in-depth commentary, this ebook allows access to enhanced research studies by honored Christian scholars instantly. Features include Hebrew and Greek word definitions, as well as images of historical maps and places just by clicking or touching your screen, an online dictionary, plus highlighting, note-taking, and bookmarking. And everywhere Pastor Chuck shares what he learned or studied something, you now have access to those very same notes. So get ready to study the Bible in a whole new way. Now you don't have to imagine what it was like to be there. This is the next best thing. To find out how to download Pastor Chuck's Genesis commentary to your electronic device, please call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673. Or to watch a video demonstration, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.